Welcome to the Husky Verbal Podcast. It's aside from a podcast, meaning that it's about nothing in particular.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Husky Verbal. This is your Husky Verbal, Ariel Duran, and we're trying video again. This is on again, off again, with the video thing. So I hope there's no max headroom effects on this one. So I hope everything turns out well. I hope that everything looks well and not very distracting with me pausing every 3 seconds, and that the actual movement of my lips matches the audio. So here's hoping. Okay, so how you guys been? I hope everything has been well. I hope that the week has been treating you nicely. This has been a give and take week. And we'll start with the take. We took a heavy loss this week. And when I say we, I mean us metalheads, rock enthusiasts. This week we had the passing of the great Eddie Van Halen. Died at 65 due to cancer. We won't go through the sad story of what happened. The thing is that he is no longer with us in the land of the living. When I heard the news, it hit me like a freight train. It destroyed me. I was completely wrecked. I was about to cry. And that is something to say over a guy who I've never met, never went to a concert, and Van Halen, to be quite honest, is not one of my favorite bands. I mean, I like them, but they're not, you know, in my go-to list. Although I do listen occasionally to Half a Teacher, Ain't Nothing. I mean, there's a bunch of songs, you know, that Van Halen has. And thinking about it right now, even thinking about it now, it hurts. It sucks. It's part of the human experience. When you're alive, you get the whole shebang. The good and the bad all mixed up together. And the ending is always not necessarily what you expect. And none of us were expecting it. I mean, he was sick for some time and he kept it low key. That was his wishes. I mean, you all remember just recently Chadwick Boseman. People making fun of him for being skinny. Turns out, fighting for his life. And nobody knew. So, I guess that's the way to see it. You know, you value your privacy. You value that once you have a time limit, an established time limit to your time here on Earth, I guess you want to deal with it on your own accord and do it in your own terms. So, rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. Eruption is still the piece of guitar playing that has prevented me to go any further. If you're watching video, you can see that I have a guitar behind me. I actually have two. I already noticed that the video here quality is not going to be working in my favor. So I'll just even stop right now. I'm not even going to try it. So excuse me. I noticed mid-recording the video that we were still going to get the max headroom effect. So I just decided to go on. But anyway, as I was saying, for you audio only, and also on the video end, you will get only audio. yes, Matt, I have two guitars, one that works, one that doesn't. And I do not fancy myself as a musician, because I suck at it badly, may I add. You would think that a guy that started playing guitar since 02 would have learned a few tricks here and there, but no, I'm lazy as fuck. And once I hear people like the now late great Eddie Van Halen and hear pieces like Eruption, you decided to burn that guitar and never lift it up again, because how the hell can you follow that? So this has been my weird ass tribute to Eddie Van Halen. Thank you for making guitar playing difficult. Thank you for making it impossible to follow. Although some crazy bastards have tried and follow and even cloned your style, but I can't, and I don't even pretend to. Going from a very bad, bumming subject to someone somewhat encouraging and you might even say soap opera-ish, the Dominican government, you remember that rant I did last week? If you listen to this podcast, if you're a current listener, God bless you, the two of you. But if you hadn't listened, last week I did a full rant on the Dominican government, the newly elected Dominican government, about their brilliant idea of adding more taxes to the Dominican people after, a pandemic where we're already getting our asses kicked, economically speaking, with a whole bunch of plethora of things that I don't have the time to describe right now. But the newly elected Dominican president, Luis Abinader, went to a state of address, sort of, from the Dominican Palace, the government palace, the National Palace, Palacio Nacional, and he announced that there won't be any new taxes coming for the year 2021 since they came to an agreement where certain people, you know, we have Barrick Gold here that digs out gold, and they renewed the contract of what they should be giving the government for allowing us allowing them, and when I say us, I mean the Dominican country, the Dominican Republic, allowing them to extract gold from our island. So they renewed the contract and repackaged it. There goes my lack of speaking the English language. And they're going to get some money out of that, plus some other revenues that came in for the government. And due to that, they won't be needing to tax the Dominican people. But other than that, he also made some announcements stating that he went hard on the previous government, saying that they were stealing money hand over fist everywhere, something that is to the shock of absolutely no one with any common sense here. And as of recording time, the former president, Danilo Medina, was about to address the nation for some reason. It seems that he needed to defend himself, something he never did in 8 years in government. He never spoke. He never said anything. Only during the pandemic, he showed up every once in a while to say, you know, these are the things that we're going to be doing for the nation. But other than that, he never talked to the nation at all while he was in government. Now that he's out and that the new president pretty much called all his shit, now he feels the need to defend himself, like he finally found his voice. So I find that very odd that a man that was practically a mute for 8 years now decides to, you know, have the balls to defend his government and his people. My opinion about that, to be honest, he can go suck a dick. Probably already does, but that's none of my business. You know, you do you. but yeah, now this has become from we're going to get taxed to, oh, what he's going to say next. So now it's turned into a glorified soap opera. So yay for us in terms of not getting taxed. That means I can keep my Netflix and Amazon video accounts without any repercussions of getting taxed for them, and that my Christmas bonus will not be touched. So yay for that. Okay, so we went through that news. Now let's go to the beautiful news that might actually spark up this podcast a little better. During this week, I found a very interesting news on the New York Post. Yes, I don't read the New York Post because I live in DR and I really don't frankly give a shit. But I saw this posted on social media, so I thought it was interesting to read it. The headline says, priest arrested for having threesome with corset-wearing dominatrix on church altar. Enticing. And the article starts with the following. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Sacrilege, but let's continue. I mean, not as bad as the priest in question. A Louisiana, go Louisiana, priest was arrested for allegedly filming himself having sex with two dominatrixes on the altar at his Catholic church, a report said Thursday. The priest, identified by NOLA.com as Reverend Travis Clark, was busted after a passerby saw the lights and later than usual on September 30th and peeked inside St. Peter and Paul Roman Catholic Church in Pearl River. The unidentified witness saw the half-naked priest having sex with the two women, who were dressed in corsets and high heel boots. The altar was also adorned with strange lighting, several sex toys, and a cell phone mounted on a tripod that was recording the act.
Nice.
Cops arrested Clark along with two altar servers, 41-year-old Mandy Dixon and 23-year-old Melissa Chang, and booked them on obscenity charges. The women reportedly told cops they were at the church to film role play with the priest. Cops determined everything that went on that night was consensual, but arrested the trio on the obscenity charges because they were in the view of the public. NOLA.com added that Dixon, who is also an adult film actress, had posted on social media a day prior that she was traveling to New Orleans area to meet up with another dominatrix to defile a house of God. The Archbishop of the New Orleans Archdiocese visited the church to perform a ritual that would restore the sanctity of the altar. Clark, who was ordained in 2013, was suspended. Oh, wow. Shocker. From the archdiocese after this arrest. Oh, God, that was gold. I mean, I'm not, you would think that I'm going to go hard on the paint on this dude, like going like, oh, you religious hypocrite asshole. No, I'm actually going to be on his side. You know, for one, the one thing I will say about it, it is a refreshing change that he's not a pedophile. That he's actually doing a consensual sexual act with two women. I question the area which they did it. But, you know, I guess that's part of the kink. To do it in an altar where you worship God, where you work at. I mean, that takes major balls. The fact that bystanders were recording them having the sexual act and then had the audacity to rat them out to the police. I mean, damn. I mean, let the dude have his fun. I mean, the Catholic priests don't have fun. Their law forbids them to have any sexual intercourse, yet that doesn't stop some of them from molesting children. But in the case of this individual here, Reverend Clark, well, the formerly Reverend Clark, formerly Reverend, now just Mr. Clark, I mean, he was getting it on. And I mean, that, if anything, that would speak that, you know, you should let these guys get married and, you know, have their kids and have sex and release that sexual tension how it was intended to be. You know, have a partner, by the graces of God, have sex on the occasional side. And if need be, procreate. So, you know, I'm not going to go that hard on him, but, you know, I just like that the fact that the dominatrix announced that we're going to defile the house of God and the archbishop going sanctifying the place after they must have some, you know, some weird stains in the altar. And I will not go further from there. Wow. I mean, first of all, go Louisiana. Go NOLA. Oh, God. You got to be alive. I'm telling you. You got to be alive in order to see these things come to fruition. Okay. So, we're going to go now to a wrestling story. And just FYI, I'm going to be dropping most of my wrestling rants because we started or restarted an old podcast I used to do back in the day called the Smart Nerd Podcast. If you follow my YouTube channel, you probably already saw the first episode up. Which we recorded last week. So if you like wrestling and like to hear sarcasm, not just from me, that's the beauty of this one, that I'm not alone. I am not alone. Michael Jackson, get out of my body. See, we were talking about pedos, and allegedly he was the greatest pedo of them all. But, God, how did I went there? But the thing is, wrestling related news and stuff like that is going to go there on that podcast. This one, I did have to mention it because it's something that escaped us because it happened the day after we recorded. So I, in order to just mention it, and it's also because it's kind of relevant, we're talking about Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio, was indicted for aggravated kidnapping in Texas. So here it is. In May, Jose Alberto Rodriguez Chuquan, known better to wrestling fans as Alberto Del Rio, was arrested for alleged second-degree sexual assault. The victim told police that he hit her, forced her to wear a dress, and dance in front of him. It is also claimed that he told her that if she cried, he would take her son and leave him stranded on the road. That sounds like a very nice person. PW Insider Mike Johnson has now reported that Thursday, October 8th, the former WWE champion was indicted by a grand jury in San Antonio, Texas, for aggravated kidnapping and 4 counts of sexual assault. This means the grand jury concludes there is enough evidence to believe that a crime was committed, and Del Rio will now face trial. If convicted, Del Rio faces a prison sentence between 5 to 99 years or even life imprisonment and or a fine up to $10,000. However, if an accused person can prove they released the victim voluntarily, then the prison sentence would be between 2 to 20 years and a fine for up to $10,000. It ain't looking for good for Del Rio. If the witness or the abused or the accuser in this instance decides to go easy on him, he would be at least looking for 20 years. I'm locked up with 20 years and 10 G's. It is not looking good for Roberto. And he had a very tumultuous relationship with Paige. And, that's not... continued that trend. I mean, we went from, you know, guy who was getting it off to the wrong end of getting it off. So if he did this, I think he does have to pay the price and get some jail time. But damn, 99 years to life or 20 years, depending on how the accuser lets him off. Damn. And you know that in Texas, they don't play around. So, he either way is fucked. Okay, let's go to some nerdy shit because, you know, I am a geek. And let's just run up and go through these things real quick. You know, HBO Max, you know, the Warner Brothers competition for Disney Plus, is going to go with J.J. Abrams. Well, not J.J. Abrams. No, I think it's the same people that do the Arrowverse or the Berlantiverse. And they're going to do a Green Lantern TV series that will feature Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern from the comics. Jessica Cruz, Simon Baz, you know, the rest of the crew, with the exception of Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan, which will now be reserved only for the films. So, looking forward for that. If you're a Green Lantern fan, there you go. You're going to get a Green Lantern series with the exception of the two big guns. I think Guy Gardner is going to be there as well. So everyone else except the two main Green Lanterns that everybody loves, which is, again, Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan. And also on the Marvel end, Benedict Cumberbatch will be reprising his role as Doctor Strange, who will be appearing on the third Tom Holland Spider-Man film, alongside with Jamie Foxx, who is reprising his role of Electro from the Amazing Spider-Man movies with Andrew Garfield. But apparently it's not going to be the same Electro, but the version of this universe of Electro. I've heard him say that the character will not be blue. So, there you go. So, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be there. You know that the title of his solo film is like the multiverse, something to do with the multiverse. I don't know. But the thing is that if Doctor Strange is in it, that means there's a possibility for a Spider-Verse, live action Spider-Verse. So that way, they can unite all the Sony properties, the Marvel Sony properties, into the MCU. And that way they can continue to work, you know, after the falling off that happened last year. And then thanks to Spidey himself, Tom Holland, reuniting the gap, the bridge between Sony and Marvel, so they can continue to work in the future. So, hopefully we will still have more Spidey in the MCU, because, and you know, with the shits that have gone down, you know, no more Iron Man, or at least no more Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man. Now Chadwick Boseman, unfortunately, you know, due to his passing, we won't get that version of Black Panther anymore. The rumors are is that Shuri will be taking over the Black Panther mantle. So, And also no Captain America, we're taking a hit in terms of the traditional heroes in the MCU. And now we pretty much the guys who are, you know, standing up right now is just Spidey, who is basically a new character in the MCU. You know, he first appeared in Civil War. So I hope that, you know, since he is now the heir apparent to the throne of Tony Stark in terms of being the main guy in the MCU, hopefully they can keep him around and work on that. You know, that's something at least on DC Comics' favor, that they own all their characters, so they don't have to worry about, you know, whatever they license to someone else, because they own all their characters. Unfortunately for DC, they have a shit poor way of managing those characters, because they haven't had like any united front on how to deal with it. That's my two cents of it on the situation anyways. And that's the end of that little rant. Now the final thing that I wanted to talk about is, you know, it hurts me, because if you've been listening to this podcast from the beginning, you know that I paid a little tribute to a man that helped me out when I was going through some dark shit in my faith, mainly losing that faith. And that man, unbeknownst to him, he helped me, just me listening to his sermons, his way of explaining the Bible, his way of explaining God. And it was a way that I understood it, and a way that I was critical thinking, you know, intellectual and whatnot, but presented it with logic, to at least the logic that I understood it. And that man was Ravi Zacharias. It's been, I don't know how many months since he passed away. I mean, he died like right where the pandemic was starting, so he did get to see a little bit of what was going on. And it turns out a few months after his passing from cancer, which was a very aggressive cancer, by the way, it just popped up out of nowhere and killed him in less than a month. After his passing, it turns out that various women have accused him of sexual misconduct. Allegedly, he went to a massage parlor. That's a great beginning to telling some deviant shit happening. He went to a massage parlor, and apparently he exposed himself to the massages and let one out to not be too graphic. He jerked off in front of them. He did a oh god, a Louis C.K. He did a Louis C.K. basically. A Louis C.K. And this week, his ministry, RCIM, announced that they have begun an independent inquiry on this subject, and they will release the findings once they have it available, once the investigation is complete. And just so you know that I'm not a piece of shit and not a hypocrite, I bring this out here in the public, not to shit on a guy when he's dead because he can't defend himself, but to be honest, because this is what, at least on my end, I try to be. You know, living through that Shakespeare quote in Hamlet, "This above all to thy own self be true." I try to live by that creed, to not add bullshit in my to myself and not lie to myself, because there's enough lies out there on any end, not just on the religious end, because that one is easy as fuck. You know, religious people are the easiest people to lie to themselves and to lie to others, because they box themselves in a corner in such a degree that they will bullshit their way to believe that that box that they hold so sacred is the only thing that exists, and everything else can go fuck itself. In my end, how do I feel about this story? Well, it disturbs me, honestly, quite honestly. But did I think that he was the holiest man on earth? Fuck no. Fuck no. No. I have walked this earth for 42 years now. And I can't speak about him, but I can speak about me. And there was some highs in my spiritual life, which that I held. Times that I was very low in my spiritual quest, that I didn't have that what it take anymore. I mean, that I felt that I was falling short. So I've been the ups and the downs. I've done the whole shebang. I've done the good, the bad, the whole thing. I've lived through it all. And I can tell you, just because you claim to believe in God, just because you claim that you believe a certain thing, a certain doctrine, that doesn't take away the need of you being a fuck up. And I call it a need because, it's something that you can't stop. It's something that you just can't shut it off. We're all fuck ups. And that's basically, I've been through this word again, you know, the word sin in the Bible, you know, it has like this spiritual connotation, like, ooh, sin. Sin is basically fucking up. That is it. You fucked up. That's it. I try to de-religitize everything about my beliefs because Jesus himself, you know, the guy that came down to earth, alleged, who was, and I say allegedly for those who are outside my faith, the guy who allegedly is the Son of God, the guy who left his throne in heaven and came down to earth and lived a life as a human, but with no sin, according to my faith, mind you, and lived on this earth and talked to people that believed in God, the Jewish people. And out of every human interaction that he had, according to what is recorded in the Gospels, the only people he shit on, the only people that he called the bullshit on, was the religious folks. He didn't call bullshit on prostitutes. He didn't call bullshit on tax people that worked, that taking tax revenue from the Romans, being Jews, basically betraying their nation, betraying their people, and taking money out of their people to give it to the Romans, and just giving some to the Romans while they were taking more than enough for them, for themselves. He didn't attack any of these people. He invited them to eat, you know, hang out with them, drank with them, ate with them, talked to them. He was cool with them. But the people he completely tore a new asshole on was the religious folks. Why is that? And my experience kind of confirms it, and I appreciate Jesus' honesty about the subject because it kind of makes sense to me. I don't know where you're at, and you don't probably believe in God or don't give a shit about it, and that's okay. That's you. And I totally understand that and wouldn't force the subject on you. I'm just giving you my interpretation of the situation. Also, this is my podcast, so this is my opinion. If you would like to express your opinion, you know, make your own podcast, post something on the internet, and have your way. But since this is my platform, I will express my two cents about it. Bullshit. People are full of shit. We are walking contradictions of ourselves. We say that we want to do these things. We probably think of ourselves as quote unquote good people. You know, we're not the greatest, the most perfect people in the world, but we're okay. I mean, we don't steal. We haven't killed anybody. But, you know, we're okay. But then when you come to judge certain things about ourselves, then you really understand that, you know, we're full of shit. We are full of shit. And it wouldn't surprise me if Mr. Zacharias here was actually a sexual deviant. It wouldn't surprise me. Am I defending his actions? No. If he did do what he did, you know, you could kind of say, well, maybe karma got him and his cancer. And I hope to God it wasn't. But what if he did do the things that he's accused of? What if he did? That does changes my faith. That changes the fact that I trust God. No, I mean, my faith is in God, not in men. I stopped believing in men a long time ago. Now, do I still think that God used him to help me in order to, you know, not completely lose my faith? Although, you know, my faith is not 100% perfect. I'm still cursing like a fucking sailor. Still got some fucking anger issues, and I got a bunch of other litany of problems on my end. But, you know, at least I'm being honest about it and not trying to cover the sun with my finger. Saying, well, no sun here. No, I mean, I still am a work in progress in terms of my Christian life. I'm not perfect, but I don't pretend to be either. I don't pretend to shine a light that I don't have, you know, because I'm fucked up. Whatever I went through fucked me up. It fucked me up good. And I don't wish that to anybody. I don't wish what I've been through to anyone. I wish that everybody, you know, just live a nice and peaceful life. But this was the burden I took in for going as deep as I went to my faith. And the fact that I came out the other side with still a resemblance of that faith is astonishing. I mean, I honestly shouldn't be believing in anything anymore. Because the things that I saw, the things that I heard, the things that I lived through is enough to call bullshit on the whole damn thing. I mean, I saw people just in it for the money, just blatantly, obviously going in hard on the paint for money, and fuck the people, fuck God, fuck everything else. This is just on me. It is the reason, and I'll say this publicly, I haven't tithed or given any money in years, because I just saw motherfuckers manipulating people from the altar, you know, telling them this and that. And I'm being pretty fucking honest right now. I saw people, you know, telling people like, no, you gotta do this. You have to give this amount. You have to do this. If you don't do it this way, then, and that was one of the main reasons I lickety split from the place that I was. Because I saw a giant level of bullshit. And to this day, I don't trust anybody that isn't an altar. Do I go to a church now? Yes. Is it a perfect church? What the fuck is that? That shit don't exist. Let me be clear on that. Wherever you go to practice your faith, and you're trying to find the perfect church, that is fantasy land. That does not exist. I congregate because that is a commandment that I see in the Bible, and I do so. And I go to a place where I see that there is less bullshit. Is it perfect? No. Do I agree with 100% with everything that is said there? No. But at least there is zero bullshit in the money department. I've been in that church for 5 years now. Not once have they insisted about money. Not a damn time. So on that end, I'm good. They're like, okay, so you're not money greedy? Okay, good, good, awesome. They don't give a shit about that. They don't talk about that. Like, if you want to give, that's on you. You don't want to give, that's on you as well. We're not going to attack you. We're not going to say anything about it. We're going to let you be. The thing here is about spirituality. Now, on that end, you know, the theology, we can vary. We can agree to disagree and whatnot. That's all good and that's all fine. But to my purposes, as I am right now, I'm okay where I am at right now. And I've dove deep in this thing is because I just, like I said, I want to be honest. The thing is, no bullshit. That's my rule right now. That is my cup of tea right now. That is my MO. No bullshit. If I see people in the Christian area with bullshit, I will cut you off my life and will tear you out of my life, not calling you out on it, because that I believe that's something that God has to deal with you, not me dealing with you, because I don't believe in that shit of calling out people just because to look, make you yourself look like you're the knight in shining armor, money, all that bullshit. I believe that if there is a God, God will deal with you in his time. In the meantime, I'm not going to deal with your bullshit. I have to deal with my life, with my responsibilities and whatnot. I don't have to take on your shit as well. So fuck you. Or in the words of the great philosopher of our time in wrestling, James E. Cornette, thank you, fuck you, bye. Well, who would have thought I would have used an atheist to conclude a very spiritual subject. Anyway, this has been all the things that I wanted to get off my chest. So it's been death, taxes, and bullshit. You know, life. All right. Well, this has been exciting. So once again, I would like to remind you all that I have a second podcast now called Smart Nerd Podcast. It's not just me. There's a group of guys that I have in the chat room called the Smarks, the Smark Roundtable. You'll be hearing them changing from time to time. There's not going to be the same guys all over again. We're going to have like two or three guys. We're doing them via Skype and we record them and then we publish it. And hopefully you will agree or disagree, whatnot. If you like wrestling, if we don't talk just about WWE and we're not there just to shit on WWE, although that is the MO these days. But if you like wrestling and you like talking about wrestling or hearing about wrestling, there you go. There's an option for you. I know there's a plethora of sea of wrestling podcasts out there, but you know, help a brother out. Help us out. Also a reminder that we still have the TeePublic store where some of my personal designs are still there. I always put the link in the description of all things Husky Babu. If you notice, I've changed the name of the Instagram handle and the Facebook page of the podcast. It's now the Husky Babu Productions, since now we have more than one podcast and not just identified as the Husky Babu Podcast, but now we have the Husky Babu Podcast and the Smart Nerd Podcast. And also there's plans to add more podcasts out there as well. So this thing is growing. Yay. Hopefully I would have this one with someone to spar with. I know I say that a lot, but I really mean it. It is because I rather have ideas bounce with another human being. I mean, this is weird. An introvert asking for help. And Alfred hasn't returned because he's a pussy. And my wife is always busy and she's working a lot lately. And I have to find the spare time to do this. But nonetheless, hopefully in the future, we will have someone to bounce ideas off. So, concluding now, this has been Ariel Duran with the Husky Babu Podcast, number 24 now. Wow, we've done 24 of these. So, again, Links will be in the description of the podcast, both audio and video. And I would appreciate all you guys' support during these times. And I hope that I have provided some sense of entertainment for you. So again, Ariel from the Husky Babu saying take care and bye. Thanks for all the help. Bye, guys.